Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of a contemporary praise song and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Let's just praise the Lord. Sing along with us. Today's message is entitled, Living in the Kingdom. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountains, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak, and he taught them this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. Amen. You know, when I looked up, 30 minutes had passed, and I was just staring out the window. I was thinking about what I had just read. It's a lesson I just read to you. We call them the Beatitudes. What had been going through my mind was the absolute incredible idea that we even have them to read today. I mean, just think of it. Jesus was an itinerant builder and teacher. We do not know for sure how long he'd been in ministry before he taught these Beatitudes, but we do know that it was early in his ministry. Now, I do not know for sure just how far Jesus had been traveling, but just looking at the map, it teaches us that it couldn't have been over 200 miles. Of course, don't forget that that was on foot. Now, there are all sorts of things that you and I need to know to help comprehend this, what the impact of these teachings had on the early church. Matthew says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up into the mountains. You remember that in Old Testament times, that mountains were considered holy places. Remember Moses met God in the burning bush? It was on the mountain. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses received the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure that that's what influenced Matthew's recollection of this occasion. We know of other times when Jesus just went off to the mountains just to be alone and to pray. Now, I have an idea that because he spent so much time down among the crowds of people that the coming up on this side of the mountain gave him a rich perspective to kind of look out and just see how many people are out there who are following him. Certainly, more people could hear him when he spoke from the side of the mountain. Now, the text says that after he sat down, his disciples came to him and he began to teach. When a Jewish rabbi wanted to say something very serious to teach, he always sat down to do it. And when he was going to say something profound, his disciples always came to him, and they sat down to listen. At this point, Jesus had only called four of his disciples. But Matthew wants us to understand that this is a very big teaching. What Jesus taught them that day must have staggered their minds. What he taught was completely different. It was a completely new way to live their lives. Wouldn't you expect Jesus to begin to teach these disciples a set of rules or regulations and something that they needed to do to follow him if they were going to really follow him? Well, he did just the opposite. He spoke to them as though it was already true, and he was just explaining what had happened. It was like saying, this is what it will be like. This is what you will be experiencing as you live as kingdom people. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Greek translation would say, happy are those. But, well, actually, there's a deeper meaning. It means more like fulfilled are those or content are those with their lives who have discovered this response to God's love. You see, it is not a commandment or a rule or an obligation. It is a way to live. It's what happens to persons who are committed to the living God. You see, it does not mean that you'll be rich. It does not mean that you'll never be sick or that you'll find healing for every disease or never have any problems. But it does mean when you come to understand that you are living in a relationship with God, that you will discover that you are fulfilled. It means that you'll have a new perspective, a whole new perspective. It means that the search is over. You've found a way to live. I remember Roger Gertz. Roger and I are still good friends to this day, and we've been friends for many, many years. When I first met Roger, he was an aspiring young insurance man, and Roger and his wife, Judy, became very good friends very quickly. He was a young agent. He wanted to excel in everything he did. Not long after he started in business, he failed miserably. But later, things turned around, and he became an unusually successful independent agent. We were both kind of on the fast track to make as much money as we could, and we always tried to be seen in the right places with the right people and make the right kind of relationships. Well, some years ago, I felt such a strong call to ministry that I had to leave the insurance and real estate practice and go back to school. When I announced my decision to Roger and others in our agency, they thought I'd lost my mind. I left with a lot of mixed emotions. While we were still friends, I could sense that Roger had, well, he was kind of sure that we had slipped off the deep end and Judy and I had gone on some religious track that he didn't want to be a part of. Well, a few years later, we got a call from Roger. Another friend had helped Roger find Christ in his life. And Roger said to me, John, now I understand why you had to leave and follow God's call in your life. Roger's conversion was dramatic. It changed the way he looked at life. Here's a man who approached life with a vengeance, a good vengeance, and he did everything he could to make a sale. But now you must understand that Roger was a bright and competent person, and he was one of the first independent life insurance agents to write computer software to do his insurance business. And he managed his clients' work. And he's a graduate of Kent State University and a charter life underwriter, and he's a whole lot of other things. But Roger, well, back then he was driven by making the highest commission possible on every sale. Today, Roger begins with how he can improve a client's position. If he can't make a significant contribution to the welfare of his client, he doesn't do anything. The remarkable thing is that now he is fulfilled in his spirit. Or maybe I should say, Roger is blessed. Or blessed is Roger. Now, I hope you'll read and reread these words that describe how kingdom people live. Matthew chapter 5, verses 9. Well, this word says, blessed or happy or content are the peacemakers. I can only have time for one more of them, but the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. One Monday evening a few years ago, Jude and I went off to the local office supply store, and it was late, and they were about to close, and closing time was posted at 9 o'clock, and we arrived about 8:45, and a young man was about 18 or so, was helping me pick out some items that I needed. It was already 9 o'clock, and I felt so bad. Well, I said, we can come back. And, well, no, he said, it's okay. Well, it's late. No, he said, don't worry. My job is to help you find what you need, and just take your time. Well, we had just a little bit more shopping to do, and I kept on looking. And in a moment, this young man was arguing with someone. He was in the next aisle, and I heard them say, I told you to come at 6:30, and I would be ready. Well, it's not 6:30 and I'm not ready, he said. Just go on home and I'll find a way to get there. Go on. Well, I couldn't really hear what the other person was saying, but I did know that it was a woman. When I saw the other person, it was easy to see that it was his mother. And they were arguing like two enemies. as it worked out, Judy and I were talking about things, and as we walked out the door to the parking lot, at the same time this young man and his mother were coming out. The conversation got even worse. It was one of those sounds that made you want to get away because you felt like someone was going to start hitting or something. As I thought about what took place, I wondered what it might have been like if that young man had just said, "Mom, I'm sorry for any confusion over about the time," or if that mother had tried to negotiate a time for picking him up. I felt so sad for the bitterness that I could feel between them. It seemed like such a small thing to fight over, and the integrity of both of them had been degraded in public. I wondered how it was in that home all the time. I wondered what his dad and mom were like. You know, I could feel the fear and the unhappiness in both of them as the car door slammed and they drove off. We see, being a peacemaker does not mean being passive or being a doormat for someone to walk on. It does not mean that you have to act like you're wrong when you're right. But it does mean that as kingdom people, you will want to find a resolution to a problem. It means that you'll be the first one to initiate a way to find a resolution or a solution, even if the other person is obviously the one who is responsible. Now, you see, by doing that, you change from being a victim of someone's harassment to being a peacemaker. But even more importantly, it creates the possibility of rebuilding a broken relationship. It creates the possibility that it will bring joy to everyone concerned. But you see, even if the other person does not respond, you will discover that you will have a sense of peace and a sense of fulfillment and maybe even happiness in your own spirit. You know, Jesus said that this is what it was already like to live as kingdom people. Amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Dear friend, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. It cost him his life, but on the cross, he provided the way for human beings to discover peace with God. And when we bring our self-centeredness and our sins to him in surrender, we discover the peace of God, which passes understanding. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, I read an article last week, and in it there was a quote that really grabbed my attention. It was one of those ideas that you sort of say to yourself, "Well, yeah, I know that," but the reality of it really hadn't hit home. The writer said, "We must remember that in life there's always change." Well, of course, I know that, you know that, but as I thought about it, I realized how true it is. Some changes are welcome and some are not. Birthdays seem to go faster and faster. Our health changes and some relationships get stronger and some fade away. Our children grow up and so do our grandchildren. Jobs change, moves happen. But you know, my experience is that as I get older, I'm more aware of changes. They seem to be weightier and more significant. When I was younger, I would just kind of go with the flow. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Literally, he said, "I'll be with you no matter what happens in your life." Through our work here at Methodist Hour, our goal is to assist as many people as we possibly can to be able to claim that confidence in their lives. After church this week, Judy and I met a young girl. She was a teenager, and I asked her, "Where do you go to church?" She said, "I don't go to church. Our family is not religious." Then I asked myself, "I wonder how they deal with life's changes." Your prayers and whatever support you can give us will matter more than you know. You can contact us through MethodistHourInternational.com. Go to PayPal. We receive gifts there. It's very safe. Check out our address at Methodist Hour International, or honestly, please call me, John Wolfe, 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. The Lord be with you. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ, meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.